Hello, knowledge seekers. In this episode of 20 Minute Books, we dive into Philosophy for Life, a guide that bridges the gap between ancient wisdom and modern science in the pursuit of well-being. At its heart, this book serves as a conduit between you and some of the greatest philosophers in history, such as Aristotle and Plutarch. Each chapter unveils practical questions and techniques derived from the ancients, aimed at guiding you towards a more fulfilling life. Published in 19 countries and celebrated as a Times Book of the Year in 2013, Philosophy for Life holds universal appeal. Its insights into the science of well-being are crafted not just for those with a penchant for philosophical thoughts, but also for anyone on the journey towards self-improvement and understanding cognitive behavioral therapy. Jules Evans, the author behind this transformative work, is not only a prolific writer, journalist, and blogger, but also an esteemed figure in the philosophical community, leading the Center for the History of Emotions at the University of London and the London Philosophy Club, the world's largest philosophy club. Evans brings a rich perspective to his readers, both through his book and his blog at philosophyforlife.org. Whether you're looking to refresh your philosophical knowledge, harness ancient wisdom for contemporary life, or simply embark on a journey of self-development, Philosophy for Life offers a compelling narrative and actionable insights. Join us as we explore how the lessons from the past can illuminate the path to a good life today. Philosophy for Life and Other Dangerous Situations. Introduction: Unlock Timeless Secrets to a Fulfilling Life with Ancient Wisdom. In an era where self-help books are burgeoning in every nook and cranny, from the expansive shelves of bookstores to the compact displays at airport kiosks, it's arguable that the quest for happiness and success has never been more pronounced. Yet this pursuit is far from a novel concept. Millennia before our time, the great minds of Greek and Roman antiquity were already deeply entrenched in these existential inquiries, dedicating their lives to exploring the essence of a well-lived life and the pathways leading to it. Interestingly, their ancient wisdom is not just a relic of the past, but continues to offer profound insights into contemporary life, especially when intertwined with current understandings of cognitive psychology. Dive into the heart of this narrative, and you'll encounter the fascinating revelation that many of the foundational principles of modern cognitive behavioral therapy, a cornerstone in today's psychological treatment methods, had already been illuminated by philosophers thousands of years prior. Their timeless philosophies, it appears, were the early echoes of strategies we employ today to manage thoughts and emotions. The journey through this wisdom includes an intriguing exploration of an ancient philosophy so universally applicable that it profoundly influenced lives as disparate as those of a slave and an emperor. This philosophy, with its emphasis on resilience, mindfulness, and the power of perspective, underscores the universality of human experience across time and social status. Central to this exploration is the empowering realization that, despite the myriad external sources of guidance and inspiration available, the responsibility to navigate one's life towards fulfillment and meaning rests with each individual. This pivotal insight encourages a shift from external reliance to internal resilience, highlighting that the tools for a good life, though refined through the lens of ancient wisdom and modern psychology, ultimately reside within us. Through this immersive journey into the past, augmented by the lenses of contemporary understanding, the message is clear. The keys to unlocking a life of contentment and purpose have been within our reach all along, waiting to be rediscovered and applied in our quest for a good life in today's world. Part 1. Bridging Millennia: How Ancient Philosophies Inspire Modern Happiness, Science. In a fascinating melding of past and present, the timeless wisdom of ancient Greek and Roman thinkers is finding a renewed purpose within the contemporary sphere of psychology. It's an intriguing revelation that the principles guiding the modern quest for happiness and mental well-being are markedly similar to those pondered by philosophers centuries ago. Specifically, the convergence of ancient philosophy and modern mental health practices shines brightly in the realm of cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT, a leading form of psychotherapy grounded in science. CBT, renowned for its effectiveness in addressing a myriad of psychological issues, draws significant inspiration from the philosophy of Stoicism, an ancient school of thought that emerged from the teachings of Socrates. The Stoics, much like modern CBT practitioners, held a profound belief in the power of our perceptions over our psychological states. They posited that it's not the external events in our lives that unsettle us, but rather our interpretations of these events. Epictetus, a Stoic philosopher of notable repute, elegantly encapsulated this idea in his assertion, "Men are not disturbed by things, but by their opinions about them." This perspective laid the groundwork for Albert Ellis, a pioneering figure in the development of CBT, to formulate the ABC model. According to this model, our experience of an activating event, A, is interpreted through our beliefs, B, subsequently leading to emotional consequences, C. For instance, failing a driving test becomes not just an event, but a reflection of self-worth if one harbors the belief of being a failure. However, both Stoicism and CBT offer a liberating alternative. By reframing our beliefs, we can transform our emotional response, turning perceived failures into invaluable lessons for growth. Taking inspiration from another ancient philosopher, Aristotle, and his concept of flourishing, Martin Seligman, a disciple of CBT's co-founder Aaron Beck and a pioneer in positive psychology, extends the applicability of cognitive therapy from mere treatment of mental illness to the enhancement of individual happiness. Aristotle's vision of flourishing through the pursuit of one's highest virtues and capabilities resonates with Seligman's emphasis on character strengths and virtues as the foundation for a fulfilling life. This modern take on Aristotelian ethics encourages us to cultivate and express our inherent strengths, like courage and self-control, as stepping stones towards achieving our fullest potential. The intricate interweaving of ancient philosophical insights with the cutting-edge science of psychology beautifully demonstrates how the quest for understanding the human condition and the pursuit of well-being transcend the bounds of time. By drawing upon the rich tapestry of knowledge left by the ancients, modern psychology not only deepens its therapeutic approaches, but also offers us a more nuanced and timeless framework for achieving happiness and resilience in our lives. Part 2. From Self-Help to Societal Transformation: The Expansive Reach of Ancient Philosophy. Upon delving deeper into the shared realm of ancient philosophy and contemporary cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT, it becomes apparent that their paths diverge distinctly in scope and application. While CBT offers a pragmatic, short-term approach for overcoming psychological hurdles, ancient philosophy presents itself as a far more encompassing discipline, intertwined not only with personal growth, but with the larger fabric of society and the cosmos. The essence of ancient philosophy lies in its perception as a lifelong journey, a continual practice and commitment far exceeding the typically short 16-week courses of CBT, which are designed to address specific mental disorders. Ancient thinkers saw their philosophy as a daily endeavor, a constant companion guiding one through the ups and downs of life, and a means of soulful healing and transformation over the span of years, or even a lifetime. This deep-seated philosophy extended its roots beyond personal well-being, aspiring to reshape individuals in a way that they could affect profound changes within their societies. Unlike the apolitical nature of CBT, ancient philosophy was intrinsically linked to social critique and the envisioning of political ideals. Plato's notion of philosopher kings ruling the state and Aristotle's contemplations on the foundations of a good society are testaments to how these philosophical inquiries were not just confined to inward reflection, but were designed to stir the societal pot, promoting a collective movement towards justice and prosperity. Moreover, ancient philosophers ventured into realms that modern psychological science seldom treads, the contemplation of divinity, the mysteries of existence, and our place within the vast universe. The Stoics, for example, saw a rational intelligence woven into the fabric of the universe, advocating for a life led in rational harmony with this cosmic order. Conversely, the Epicureans, committed to a materialistic view of the world devoid of an afterlife, championed the importance of making the most of our temporal existence on Earth. Through these philosophical lenses, life was to be viewed in its totality, with the ultimate aim of crafting a mode of existence conducive to the good life. Despite their divergent views on various aspects of life and morality, these ancient thinkers were united in their belief in philosophy as a demanding but immensely rewarding discipline, one that requires unwavering dedication. As we ponder ancient philosophy's contributions to modern self-help, it becomes clear that these teachings offer more than just avenues for individual improvement. They implore us to examine our roles within our communities and the larger world, encouraging a thoughtful engagement with life's ultimate questions and our collective endeavors towards creating a meaningful, flourishing society. Part 3: Mastering Life with Stoicism, the Art of Control and Acceptance. Throughout history, individuals have perennially grappled with trials and tribulations, from the mundane to the monumental. Yet it was the Stoics of ancient Greece and Rome who pioneered the cultivation of adversity into a comprehensive philosophy of life. Stoicism, a doctrine that extends far beyond the grief of losing a pet hamster to encompass the enormity of challenges, including the ordeals of slavery or the intricacies of imperial governance. At the heart of Stoic philosophy is the principle of focusing our energy and efforts on what we can control, while learning to accept with equanimity that which lies beyond our influence. Stoics recognized that many aspects of our lives, such as reputation, health, and wealth, are dictated by variables outside our direct control. The unpredictability of the market or the whims of an employer, for example. Accordingly, Stoicism teaches that our paramount concern should be the realm within our control, our perceptions, our thoughts, and our reactions. In the face of job loss, for instance, one might choose to wallow in bitterness and blame external circumstances, or instead embrace a Stoic perspective, accepting the situation and proactively seeking new opportunities. Stoics argue that the root of our distress in such scenarios often stems from harboring unrealistic expectations or desires, like the notion of job permanence. To maintain this mental fortitude, Stoics engaged in regular meditations on the inherently challenging nature of life, thus tempering their emotional investment in transient states of affairs. Seneca, a prominent Stoic statesman, advised periodic reflections on defeat, suffering, and even mortality, to brace the soul for their eventual inevitable encounter. This rigorous discipline of the mind, according to Stoicism, requires consistent practice, akin to the physical training of athletes. Analogous to preparing for the Olympic Games, Stoic philosophers diligently monitored their daily conduct, often keeping a journal to track their comportment and progress meticulously. Much like athletes honing their skills for competition, the Stoics understood that excellence in the art of living demands relentless training and introspection. So, the next time you find yourself at odds with the world's whims, remember the Stoic way. Embrace your circumstances, however challenging, as a foundation upon which to build a better, more resilient future. Part 4: The Epicurean Quest for Happiness, Pleasure, Presence, and Contentment. Imagine a life filled with genuine pleasure, surrounded by good friends, where happiness is not just a fleeting goal, but a lived reality. This was the vision of the ancient Greek philosopher Epicurus, who championed a life of hedonism. However, it's crucial to strip away the misinterpretations that have clung to Epicureanism over the centuries, misconceptions often colored by Roman reinterpretations that equated this philosophy with indulgence in orgies, wine, and fine dining. At its core, Epicurean hedonism advocated for rational enjoyment of life, It urged a thoughtful balance between immediate and long-term pleasures, emphasizing that the greatest joy often lies in the absence of pain and the simple, profound appreciation of existence itself. Imagine the profound gratitude for life one might feel after narrowly escaping a life-threatening car accident. This is the kind of daily appreciation Epicureanism encourages. Contrast this with irrational pleasures that compromise our well-being for momentary satisfaction, like smoking, and you'll understand the Epicurean critique. These fleeting joys not only undermine our health, a profound long-term pleasure, but also leave us craving more, never truly satisfied. Another fundamental aspect of Epicureanism was the rejection of the idea of an afterlife or judgmental deities. Epicurus held that without the specter of divine punishment or duties beyond this life, we are utterly free to pursue happiness in the here and now, without fear or obligation. Too often, however, Epicurus observed, we let the present slip through our fingers. We postpone our happiness to some indeterminate future, after the next promotion, the next purchase, or the next big trip. Alternatively, we let past grievances, such as childhood bullying, anchor us in unhappiness, giving power to memories over our current state of being. By continually setting our sights on what's next or what has been, we waste the precious moments that make up our lives. Epicurus implored us to savor life's present joys, embracing the liberation from past and future burdens. After all, our time alive is finite. Why spend it mired in reasons for misery? Let this moment be a call to action from Epicurus himself. Pause and acknowledge the profound fact that you are alive. In that awareness, find the permission to seek joy, to relish the pleasure of existence, and to fully engage with the sensual world around you. The Epicurean way is not one of excess, but of thoughtful appreciation and presence, where happiness is not a distant dream, but a tangible daily reality. Part 5. Pythagorean Perspectives: Gaining Distance and Transforming Thoughts. Long before the iconic images of Earth from space captivated the human imagination, the Pythagoreans were already striving to transcend their earthly confines mentally. They endeavored to view their existence from a grander cosmic perspective, what is now aptly called the view from above. This philosophical exercise encouraged seeing one's life against the vast canvas of the universe, rendering personal troubles seemingly minute and transient. From this elevated vantage point, the entire human saga merges into a singular narrative, casting aside our individual egotisms. The quest for a work promotion, for example, shrinks in significance when considered against the backdrop of humanity's collective existence. This universal perspective humbles us, situating our brief lives as mere flickers amidst the eternal dark, a sobering yet enlightening realization that our day-to-day anxieties are, in the grand scheme, trivial. Cognitive Behavioral Therapy, CBT, incorporates a similar strategy known as distancing to help individuals reframe their perception of problems. By gaining perspective, what seems like a catastrophe, such as the loss of data from a broken hard drive, can be seen in a lighter, more manageable context. Is the loss truly consequential in the larger narrative of our lives or the universe? Furthermore, the Pythagoreans employed memorized maxims, concise and impactful phrases, to anchor themselves during challenging times. These mantras served as reminders of life's impermanence and the inevitability of suffering, providing comfort and resilience amidst adversity. Whether confronted by personal loss, conflict, or disaster, these maxims reinforced a stoic acceptance of fate. Echoing this ancient practice, CBT leverages the power of positive affirmations to counteract negative self-talk, the often unconscious internal narrative that shapes our reactions and emotions. Misguided self-critiques can deepen the despair in conditions like depression, leading individuals to view themselves as unworthy or inadequate. CBT aims to overwrite these destructive beliefs with affirmative, rational statements such as, "I am deserving of happiness," fostering a healthier, more balanced inner dialogue. The next time you find yourself mired in self-doubt or overwhelmed by a mistake, take a moment to envision yourself from the cosmological perspective, as a mere point on the vast planet. Ask yourself, in the grand continuum of the universe, how significant is this error? The wisdom of the Pythagoreans reminds us to cultivate distance from our immediate troubles and to employ transformative thoughts for inner peace and rational perspective. Part 6. Learning from the best, the timeless wisdom of role models. According to Plutarch, have you ever caught yourself mirroring the mannerisms or habits of someone you admire? Whether it be a family member, a celebrity, or a historical figure, the impact of role models on our personal development and ethical grounding is undeniable. This phenomenon of emulation isn't a modern revelation, but was thoroughly explored and valued by ancient philosophers as a fundamental aspect of personal growth. The profound influence role models have on shaping our behaviors and moral compass has not only been acknowledged by thinkers of the past, but has also been empirically confirmed by contemporary science. The groundbreaking Bobo doll experiment by social psychologist Albert Bandura is a prime example, illustrating our innate tendency towards imitation. Observations from this study revealed that children exposed to aggressive behavior towards a doll were significantly more likely to replicate that aggression. Extensive further research has underscored this mimetic nature across all ages, highlighting the crucial role our immediate social environment plays in steering us toward constructive or destructive habits. Plutarch, a Roman historian and philosopher, emerged as a pivotal advocate for leveraging the power of role models, or exemplum, as a transformative tool for moral cultivation. He passionately believed in the capacity of moral exemplars from the past to guide and inspire contemporary lives towards virtuosity. Plutarch emphasized the pivotal role of parents in serving as the first and perhaps most influential exemplars for their children. Yet he also posited that the deeds and virtues of the long-gone great men and women could serve as a beacon for the living, encouraging moral and ethical excellence. In his iconic work, Parallel Lives, Plutarch juxtaposed the lives of eminent Greek and Roman figures, such as Alexander the Great and Julius Caesar, not merely as historical accounts but as templates of moral superiority to be emulated. This collection of biographies was intended to offer readers a mirror through which they could reflect on and refine their personal virtues by aligning with those of renowned heroes. Fast forward nearly 2 millennia, and we find the tale of Louis Ferrante, a former gangster whose transformation within the confines of a prison cell was catalyzed by the stories of history's giants, like those chronicled by Plutarch, alongside biographies of Nelson Mandela and Winston Churchill. Ferrante's journey from a life of crime to becoming a published author and literacy advocate is a testament to the enduring influence of role models, bridging centuries and civilizations. This brings us to a moment of introspection. Who are the figures that loom large in our personal and social spheres? Do they inspire us to elevate ourselves, or do they anchor us to our lowest impulses? In the legacy of Plutarch, let us consciously curate the influences in our lives, seeking out those who embody the virtues we aspire to, for in their reflections, we find the pathway to our best selves. Part 7, The Aristotelian Path to Happiness, A Quest for Rational Excellence and Community. In a world that often feels like it's moving without purpose, where the daily grind can leave us questioning the very point of our existence, the ancient wisdom of Aristotle shines like a beacon, guiding us back to our essential human pursuits. Aristotle, a towering figure in classical philosophy and a student of Plato, delved into the essence of what it means to live a meaningful life, identifying happiness, rationality, and community as the core pillars of human existence. Aristotle posited that happiness, or eudaimonia, is the ultimate goal that humans inherently strive for, not as a fleeting emotion, but as a state of being achieved through a life well lived. Unlike other goals that serve as means to an end, happiness, for Aristotle, is the end in itself, the ultimate purpose of human actions. However, this pursuit of happiness isn't a solitary journey. It is deeply interwoven with the fabric of community and the collective good. Aristotle emphasized that true harmony and contentment arise when individuals come together, contributing to a societal structure that fosters mutual respect and unity. At the heart of Aristotle's vision of the good life is rationality, the distinctive trait that separates humans from other species. It is through the application of reasoned thought that we navigate our path toward happiness, discerning it from the myriad illusions that can lead us astray. The fulfillment of our nature, according to Aristotle, lies in harnessing our rational capabilities to cultivate our innate emotions into virtues. Virtue, in the Aristotelian sense, is the ideal state of balance between two emotional extremes, achieved through deliberate cultivation. Courage, for example, is seen as a virtue that stands midway between the extremes of recklessness and cowardice. Cultivating such virtues isn't merely an academic exercise, but requires practical application and lived experience, transforming positive behaviors into ingrained habits. Yet, Aristotle was adamant that the journey toward eudaimonia cannot be undertaken in isolation. The realization of a good life is intrinsically linked to the society in which one resides, a society that values and promotes the cultivation of virtues through education and fosters an environment conducive to human flourishing is essential for the individual pursuit of happiness to bear fruit. In recent times, the relevance of Aristotle's teachings has not waned, finding resonance even among modern political thinkers who recognize the importance of structuring societies in ways that enhance human happiness and fulfillment. It prompts us to consider the broader implications of ancient wisdom on contemporary society, advocating for a model of living that prioritizes the collective cultivation of rationality, virtue, and communal well-being. As we navigate the complexities of modern existence, Aristotle's timeless philosophy serves as a reminder that at the heart of our pursuits lies the communal cultivation of excellence, urging us to reflect on how we can contribute to a society that elevates every individual towards their highest potential. Part 8. The intersection of well-being, government, and personal responsibility. In an ideal world, a government's primary concern would revolve around the holistic well-being of its citizens, a notion that has seen progressive shifts in reality. With the infusion of cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT principles, into public institutions, some governments are making tangible strides towards this ideal. The United Kingdom, for instance, has notably allocated £500 million to train an additional 6,000 CBT therapists and has embedded social and emotional aspects of learning into the school curriculum, embracing CBT techniques to foster emotional intelligence among students. On the other side of the pond, the American government demonstrated a commitment to the mental resilience of its military personnel by engaging positive psychologist Martin Seligman to develop the Comprehensive Soldier Fitness Program. With a hefty budget of $125 million, this initiative aims to equip soldiers with the psychological tools necessary to mitigate the risk of post-traumatic stress disorder, underscoring the value of well-being on a communal scale. Despite these forward-thinking initiatives, the application of well-being science by governments treads a fine line. The temptation to reduce human happiness to quantifiable metrics poses a notable risk, highlighted by instances such as the Office of National Statistics in Great Britain. This department endeavored to quantify happiness without the insights of philosophers or artists, illustrating a potential disconnect between empirical data and the nuanced spectrum of human emotion. This leads to the critical discourse on freedom, that is, the liberty to define happiness on personal terms without succumbing to a homogenized, scientifically proven model imposed by policymakers. It underscores the importance of maintaining a delicate balance between facilitating societal well-being and safeguarding individual freedom, allowing for personal choices, even those that might not align with conventional wisdom or statutory health guidelines. Ultimately, the quest for a fulfilling life transcends governmental efforts and enters the domain of personal agency. The ancient Greek concept of phronesis, or practical wisdom, echoes the necessity of individual moral judgment in navigating the waters of existence. While governments can pave pathways toward enhanced well-being, grasping the essence of a good life is a mantle each individual must bear. The dialogue between societal support structures and the flourishing of personal autonomy suggests that while beneficial, the science of well-being as applied by governments should not overshadow the profound, diverse, and subjective explorations of happiness by individuals. It's a collaborative journey where societal frameworks and personal choices converge, inviting every one of us to actively engage in shaping our destiny, crafting a narrative of well-being that is uniquely our own. Final summary. In the bustling world of self-improvement literature and quick-fix motivational guides, it's easy to forget that the quest for personal growth is neither a modern invention nor a journey to be hastily traversed. The enduring wisdom of ancient Greek and Roman philosophers illuminates a path to self-development that is much more profound than can be captured in any single book or fleeting read. At its core, it is a rigorous, lifelong practice, a commitment to continually engage with the complex questions that define our existence. These sages from antiquity teach us that true development transcends mere personal gain or the accumulation of knowledge. It demands a relentless inquiry into the nature of a good life, not just for the solitary individual, but within the broader tapestry of community and society. The philosophies of Stoicism, Epicureanism, and the teachings of Aristotle, amongst others, do not offer simple answers, but rather guide us in embracing the art of questioning, the very essence of philosophical inquiry. In this profound exploration, we are encouraged to scrutinize our beliefs, challenge our assumptions, and cultivate virtues that balance our emotional extremes. Through this process, we are led to discover that happiness, or eudaimonia, is not a passive state to be achieved, but an active mode of being, rooted in the communal cultivation of excellence and the rational pursuit of virtue. However, as we wield the tools provided by the ancients, modern governments and societies also play a crucial role in shaping the landscape within which individual growth occurs. Initiatives that promote well-being and resilience underscore the collective responsibility to foster environments conducive to human flourishing, while also respecting the autonomy of each person to define and seek their version of the good life. Ultimately, the journey of self-development calls for an intimate dance between the individual and society, a perpetual striving for harmony between personal aspirations and the communal good. Armed with the timeless wisdom of philosophy and a keen sense of personal responsibility, we are invited to craft a life that resonates with depth, purpose, and a profound sense of fulfillment. Thank you for joining me today on this journey of learning and discovery as we explored the insights of another thought-provoking book in our growing library of knowledge. If you've enjoyed our time together, please take a moment to follow our podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and share 20-minute books with other knowledge seekers. Your support truly means a lot. Don't forget to join me again in the next episode, where we will delve into another enriching book. Until then, happy reading and happy listening.